Well, thank you. What a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you, Bob and Jeannie, for the invitation. It's so good to see your lovely, beautiful faces again. I love that you played that song by Sal. One of the phrases that really jumped out at me was in honor, preferring one another. Mm-hmm. And in honor, I prefer you. And there is a way to do that. You know, God has given us a very clear pathway on how we can prefer one another and honor one another. And I wanted to share with you a little bit out of Hebrews 10 this morning. And I have certain verses or sections of Scripture that I just like to land on. They're like a soft landing place for me, and I go back to them frequently. And I thought I'd share one of those verses with you this morning, and it's Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 24. And in the King James, it said, I was just reading along. It says, "And consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." I love that. And I love to explore ways, how do I do that? You know, because I love to encourage. And that's something that God has placed in us because He is the great encourager. But one three-letter word really captured my attention when I was looking at this. And it's the first word. It's "and." I was gently reminded by God that, you know, all the individual verses are wonderful, but that He placed them in a context. And so I thought, okay, well, I think Hebrews 10 is about, you know, the blood of bulls and goats and stuff. And, you know, that's not really where I want to go with this. But I did. And I am going to do a very brief summary for you. And you can go back later and really look at it in more detail. But I think that to look at that verse in the context is going to just add a beautiful depth for all of us. So the context, in verse 1, okay, it talks about the law was a shadow of things to come. A shadow, but not the very image of the things. Okay, so that's how he sets it. Right, this is a shadow, not the very image that's coming later. And so what they did, what they were required to do in the Old Testament was to go through very specific rituals and requirements in order to be able to fulfill their responsibility with the law, and that involved the sacrifices of bulls and goats. And they would offer the bodies and blood to God. That was a part of it, and it was very much required. But the goal, as it says in verse 1, is to make the comers thereunto perfect. So that's what God always had in mind. And it says in verse 3 that the problem was it only brought a remembrance of sins every year. So they go through the requirements, and then they remembered their sins. Mm-hmm. And the sins were, you know, on the scapegoat, too. Once a year, the sins were symbolically placed on the scapegoat, and it was sent off into the wilderness. But it was always the reminder of sin. Mm-hmm. In verse 4, it reminds us here that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Mm-hmm. And yet, at that time, that's what they were required to do. This just, oh gosh, this just stopped me in my tracks. If you read verse 7 and 9 later, it talks about Jesus Christ, who came and agreed and fully committed to doing God's will. He said, "I will be the perfect sacrifice." He stood up and said, "I will do it." And He did it. Mm-hmm. Verse 11 says, even daily offerings and sacrifices could never take away the sin, which was the root problem. Mm-hmm. So our Lord and Savior stepped up, fully committed to do that, and He did it. And verse 12, after He offered Himself, which was the one sacrifice for sins forever, then He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down in the place of honor, the place of authority, and the place of blessing. we are seated next to him. So we are, because of what he did, we are in that place, that position of blessing and honor and authority. We have the authority to encourage one another. And we have the ability. So this just gets more and more beautiful. I have an idea, you know. Thank God for that. And so verse 16, he made a new covenant with his people. And it says to put his laws in their hearts and to write them in their minds. So I thought about that. Now, this is something that he did. How did he do that? So he placed the perfect law in our hearts, deep. It's a part of our nature, and it's the perfect law of love. Mm-hmm. It's part of our nature. Mm-hmm. So why, you know, it's easy to love, actually, because it's our nature. And he gave us the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. He gave us the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's access that mind. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we struggle with correct thinking, or we have, there's this conflict or this crashing of ideas and thoughts. He gave us the mind of Christ. Let's act, let's give that prominence. And then in verse 17 it says that he wiped out our sins to remember them no more. I mean, he's perfectly positioning us. Wiped out our sins. He will never remember them again. Jesus Christ paid the full and complete sacrifice. And then we are placed next to him on the right hand of God in that seat of position, that position of honoring and beauty and goodness and blessing. So, verse 19, now we have boldness to enter into the holiest place. That boldness is, it's not just, oh, I'm bold, I can walk in, you know, because I, but it also is the liberty. We have the liberty to do that. Because we are captives who were set free. Mm-hmm. We were captives, we are now free. We have liberty to walk in. We have been given access to the presence of God and to the heart of God. Mm-hmm. That is just hallelujah.
Amazing.
So that is the place where we see the very image of the good things that were to come, not just the shadow. Because God does not live in the shadows, and he's not trying to conceal anything from us. He is showing us the very image of the good things. And in verse 20, it's called a new and living way. It's not the old dead works. It's not the old sacrifices. It is a new and a living way. So now we can go and consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I found it really interesting in looking at this that after he gave us all that he did in the first verses of Hebrews 10, he basically gave four directives. And I'm going to read them from the NLT, the New Living Translation. And it's verses 22 through 25. So if you want to listen, you can. I don't know how it works with you reading a different version and listening to another one. But these are the four points. And it's like an invitation. Number one, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Let us do that. Let us do that together. Number two, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is coming back. Mm-hmm. Number three, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Mm-hmm. Let us do that.
Amen.
It's our nature. Number four, let us not neglect our meeting together, but encouraging one another. So I'm going to read, there's a version I look at, a translation I look at from time to time called the Passion Translation. Hebrews 10:24 in the Passion says, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, mm-hmm. doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, at this point, show you this copy of Jan's new book, which is now at the publishers. This is a proof copy. It's called Our Walk in Christ, and it is it's about exploring practical keys about the journey of life. And I wanted to mention it at this point because she has a chapter in there called Walk by Faith, and it mentions this verse, Hebrews 10, in this whole section. And it says the first key to encourage one another like that is to draw near with a steadfast heart to God. Draw near with a steadfast heart. We do it with intention, and we do it with a purpose, and we do it often. We go deep, okay? The object of faith is Christ, and therefore we can have confidence. The second key to persist in the confession of our hope is because God is faithful to fulfill his promises. We can count on that. Yeah. He is faithful. So then we can, it's an interesting word, isn't it, to provoke one another. Come here, let me provoke you. But, you know, to encourage, here's another good word, incite one another to something really, really good.
Stir up.
Yes, to stir up. We stir up one another with encouragement. So you will, oh gosh, this, I'm telling you, I worked with Jan on this book and in the editing aspect of it. This is a treasure. I go through this process of editing the manuscript over and over and over again, but it's like, I can't wait to get my hands on the book. And it's beautiful. You will love it. It'll be available really soon. But this aspect of encouraging one another, I just want to land on that a little bit longer before I close up. And I think the first thing that we need to do, the first and primary and really critical thing that we need to do, is to put ourselves in a position to be encouraged by God. He is the great encourager. So we put ourselves in that situation, you know, through the scriptures, through spending time with him, and also with one another. You know, there is a very important exchange and a richness of fellowship and a reminder from one another to, you know, we continue pointing each other toward God and toward the promises of God and the provision of God. So we put ourselves in that position and then we remain there. It should be an exception to our time and our days when we're not in that position. And then we realize it and get back in it. And you know that encouraged people just have a tendency to encourage others. Mm-hmm. And don't you just want to be that person? Mm-hmm. And you know what? You are those people.
Yeah.
You are, each of you and each of us are great influencers. Do you realize that? Each one of us. We are always influencing, well, first of all, we're influencing ourselves because we choose to think the thoughts that we think. And sometimes we have to fight to hold that ground and keep it holy ground because there's a lot of distractions. But then we can intentionally and continually encourage others in a practical way. You know that people around us, there could be a person that you know that maybe you interact with every day or maybe in passing, but they could be just one encouragement tipping point away from a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people are really, we're living in a hostile environment in the moment. And so we can watch over one another and the people that we have the honor and privilege of interacting with, where somehow we cross paths. So if we take our influence to the next level, you know, just I know that I'm an encourager, but I don't want to just settle for that. Like, oh, that's great, you know, it's something I love and it feels really good and people get blessed, but I want to take it to the next level. So how do I do that? You know, one thing, actually reading from this book of Jan's, she talks about the word unity. There's a chapter on walking in unity, keeping the unity of the Spirit. So that word from Aramaic is to, it has this sense of turning toward one another with interest and affection. You know, like I don't want to just blow by something. Mm-hmm. You know, that if I am watching, if I am really watching and I have an interest in you, if I see even a shadow across your face, you know, because sometimes we do have a way that we, how you doing? I'm doing fine. You know, heartbreak. Oh, yeah, I know. But if we're watching and we're looking to God and asking, then we're going to perceive those subtle things. And so we will turn toward one another with interest and affection, because love is a key element. Mm-hmm. So what encouragement is not is avoiding people.
Really,
you know, but so it's not that. That's what I'm talking about, going to the next level. It's not judging one another. Mm-hmm. Verbally or in your mind. Like, I really try to catch myself and go, oh man, that was, you know, I retract that. That was not a good pathway to go down. Or to criticize one another in person, or maybe, you know, or withholding forgiveness. How about that? You know, maybe somebody offended you. Forgive. I mean, rush to forgive. Yeah. Rush to forgive. So what it is to think about a person, you know, consider a person, maybe do it with a person that you don't normally just encourage constantly, you know, because it's just so easy, because you get along so well, you agree on so many things, but maybe think about someone that isn't that person, and think about ways, you know, think about what you like about them. Go ahead, push yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Think about what you admire about them. Think about, here's an even greater additional approach. Ask God what he thinks of them. But literally, specifically, ask God, how do you see this person? And will you just show me? Will you give me that? And so then speak it into their life. When God shows you that, you speak it into their lives. Because you know what? A lot of times when people are hurting or behaving in a way that is just not that endearing, they're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that gem of encouragement and speak it into them. So here's my challenge. I have a challenge for you. Think of three people. Three. You can do it now. You can begin to do it now. You can do it later. Think of three people and go to God. Ask him. Go to God in prayer. Ask him, Father, how do you see this person? What can I do? What can I actually, will you pour something into me that I can actually pour into them? It's not like this meager little, hi, you look great today. But because God knows the heart of people, when he will if he will show you something like that, when you have that great, beautiful approach of love, he will trust you with that information, and you can deliver it in a way that will actually be transformative. Because remember, that person could be one tipping point away from breakthrough. It could be one tipping point away from breakdown also. And so the world is viciously and very aggressively moving toward people. We can very proactively and intentionally move toward them with love. So that's my challenge. Mm-hmm. Challenging myself to three people, do it. You're going to love it. And you know what? It's going to enrich and enhance that relationship in some way.
Awesome.
Amen. There we go.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Close with prayer.
Father, you are so amazing, and we thank you that you truly are the great encourager. And our Lord Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, did he encourage people, and he continues to do that. So thank you for giving us great vision. Thank you that you did seat us in that place of honor where we have access to your heart, and we don't want to squander that in any way. So we come to you with great thankfulness, great gratitude, great desire, and great expectation that you will take you know, what we have talked about this morning and really ignite it in our hearts so that we can gaze upon one another and have expanded thoughts about how to encourage one another in love. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.